This week's Tower Way has been sponsored by one of our regular remote audio attendees, Le'ila Nishmas's father, Rav David Shmuel ben Rav Moshe Zichrono Levracha.
Tes Vov Cheshvan, Wednesday the 31st of October, Rabbi Eli Pick, Hilchas Shechenim.
Bishus Kol HaKol HaKadosh Hazeh. It's the moment many of us dread when new neighbours come along next door to us and they come along with their army of builders and they start knocking holes in walls and building extensions. I mean, when the Eid, let's face it, when the Eid goes and decides whether to buy a house, what's the first question he asks? Where am I going to put the extension? You know, we have a dinner of brachas over lasiyosom. First you say the bracha, then you do the mitzvah, then you eat the food. But somehow the Yidden seem to treat the extension as the bracha. They build that first, and then they ask afterwards. So, in your desperation, you phone up the council just to find out whether they got planning permission. The guy's knocked a hole in a wall, he puts in a big window, and he's looking straight into your kitchen, just on the place where you sit every morning and you're eating your cornflakes. And you phone up the council and they say, sorry, we can't help you. What do you mean? He's overlooking me. It's permitted development. He doesn't need planning permission. So you think, Gavalt, what am I going to do? Then you open up the Rambam, the Hilchos Shechenim and Perek Zayin, and there you find the solution. So don't feel despondent. We sometimes find then that the English laws just don't help you. And the Torah does help you. You get problems from your neighbours of overlooking, you get problems of loss of light, you get problems of changes of use, businesses which go on. Some things are subject in this country to planning permission, but other things are not. And on Hezekiah, it's regarded as an Issur Min HaTorah. What are the first words we say when we come into shul every morning? Ma Tovu Alecho Yaakov Mishkan Osecho Yisrael. These are the words of Arosha, Bilam Arosha. And why did he say these words? It says Rashi, Al Shiro Pischem She'ein Mechivonim Zeh Mul Zeh. He saw that the doorways of the tents were not looking into each other. Everyone's privacy was protected. But Be'emes, it's not only the infringement of privacy which Hezekiah affects. It's other things as well. It causes Ayin Hara, it causes Lashon Hara, by things people see and then talk about. There are problems with tzinius. So Hezekiah is a major issue in halacha in terms of damages. The Ramah says in Siman Kuf Nun Zayin in Choshen Mishpat that one can be meichel if one has a window and it overlooks. But he says that mechila can only be done with Eidim to make sure there are no misunderstandings afterwards. What if I have my window overlooking into you for a period of 3 years and you never object? Then I can claim a chazokah. Is that the case or not? It is in fact a machlokas rishonim. According to the Ramban in Daf Nun Tes on Baba Basra, and also the Rashba in his Tshuvas Chelek Gimel Kuf Pei, there are other Rishonim as well, like the Rif and the Ritva. They say you can't get a Chazaka. When it comes to Hezekiah, when you're causing harm by overlooking, you do not attain a Chazaka. There's no such thing. If you don't object in the 3 years, then even after the 3 years are up, you can still object to it. So, we can only talk about when we're going to a Beis Din, so if both sides are willing to abide by the ruling of the Beis Din. But there is an opinion amongst other Rishonim who say you can get a Chazokah. You can get a Chazokah. The Rambam in Perek Zayin, Hilchos Shechenim Halachavov, there's Ari Migash, there's Rabbeinu Yonah, they say that you can get a Chazokah, but that Chazokah is only for the Metzias of the window, that it stays there. It doesn't mean you can then stand at the window and gaze into your neighbour. That's still awesome. Hence, so the machlokas is limited in its parameters. And then, of course, there's the desperation you have when your neighbour builds an extension. What are you going to do? And you happen to live in a terraced house, and perhaps your ground level is lower than the neighbour next door, so when he builds up 3 metres in height, for you it's 3.5 or more metres, and it just so happens that that's the corner where the sun comes in the morning onto your breakfast area of where you're eating your cornflakes, and he builds this extension. 3 metres out, it might be 4 metres out for a detached house, 3 metres high, and you phone up the council, has he got planning permission? They say, no, it's permitted development. He doesn't need planning permission. If it's small, it's okay. If it's big, then he needs planning permission. And this is the mentality. If it's small, it's okay. If it's big, it's not okay. But you'll find comfort in the Rambam, in Perek Zayin. Hilchos Shcheinim, Shelo Yapil. You cannot darken out your neighbor's window. So what's the difference here between the mentality between Yidden and the Gentiles? There's an interesting idea which is brought in Parshas Yisro. In Parshas Yisro, when Yisro advises Moshe Rabbeinu that he's working too hard, you're judging the people morning till night, it's after Sheni in Parshas Yisro. You're judging the people, why don't you delegate? And he says, Esadovor Hakotam Yivion. Esadvar HaGodol, he says, the big things bring to Moshe. Esadvar HaGodol Yivin HaMoshe. Esadvar HaGodol Yishpituheim. Let them deal with the small things. When the plan is put into operation after Shlishi, it says, Esadvar HaKoshe Yivin HaMoshe. Esadvar HaGodol Yishpituheim. The difficult things you bring before Moshe Rabbeinu. Not necessarily that small is okay and big is small is okay and big is not okay. It's the complexity of the issues. And this can relate to anything in Dinim Ominous, in a Beis Din. In this country you get a small claims court because they think if it's small it's not so complex. And the Netziv picks this up on that posuk. The Netziv writes, he says, Dainim alpi das Torah ein nafke minna bein doba agodol adoba koton. There is no difference between something big and something small. Din peruta kadin mea. You can have a court case which involves a small amount of money, and it's treated with its complexity of halacha in the same way as a large amount of money. But this is the mentality which we get from the Gentile world, who mean it very well, and they say, well, if it's small, we'll give you that freedom, and if it's big, then you need your permission. But that's not the way the halacha works. There is another kind of thing which your neighbour might be doing, and that is a change of use. And the Mishnah in Bava Basra and Layachba and Daf Ches on the base talks about a shop which is in the Chotzer, Yicholim Rimchos. A neighbour can object to its continuing operation because people are coming and going. The shop in itself might not be very noisy, but nevertheless, it could cause a nuisance. And the Rambam brings us down in Pek Vav Halacha Yud Beis, and we've got other Mishnayos there, Mishnah in Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph there, it talks about Machinich Sashubach Mino Ir Chamishim Amo, a dovecot, where you've got pigeons coming and going, and they're causing a lot of irritation and mess, so you have to distance it from the town boundary by 50 Amos, and if you do it within your own premises, you have to make sure there's 50 Amos at least all round to make sure that you're not causing a nuisance. And the Mishnah there suggests that you might attain a chazoka, an entitlement after a period of time. And the Gemara asks on this. The Gemara says, Voma, didn't we say, Ein chazoka lenizokin? There's no such thing as chazoka, an entitlement after a period of time. Amar Rav Meri, he says, Bekutro. He says, with smoke, there is no such thing as a chazoka. You can't get a legal right or an entitlement with such a nuisance like smoke. Rav Zvid Omar Beveis HaKise, he's talking about external WCs which were causing lots of smells. The Maharami Rosenberg says we don't build the WCs like that nowadays, so it's not quite the same rule, but anything which causes nasty smells, you do not get a chazoka. And the Rambam brings this down in Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Zayin, in Hilchos Shcheinim. He says, although you can get a chazoka by doing a commercial use, if the neighbor has not objected over a period of 3 years, nevertheless, when it comes to smoke, or nasty smells, or dust, or vibrations, then you'll never get a chazoka. There's no such thing. Why? Because ein das shel adam soveles. A person just will not accept such a thing. So if you have something innocent, my wife grew up next to a bakery, and there was a smell coming every morning next door, a most lovely smell, everybody enjoyed it, nobody objected to it. So then the bakery gets that chazoka after 3 years. Or if you're helping the person schlepping the goods, it shows that you're not objecting to what he's doing, that is also a sign of showing that it's okay, and therefore the Ramah says you can even get your chazoka earlier in such circumstances. And in English law, there's no distinction between different kinds of uses. If you've done something for a long period of time, it might be 4 years, it might be 10 years, you get a legal right, a lawful use right. Irrespective of what it is, if it hasn't got planning permission, then in English law, you get that entitlement. But in halacha, there are some things which you will never get chazoka for, because ein adam soveles on such things. And so when it comes to these uses, the Mishnayos talk about other activities going on. For example, a threshing floor, goyren. So there's also a din of 50 amos all round, Perek Beis Mishnah Ches. And there the Mishnah says, "Umachit b'nitziosa shel chavera kedei shelo yazik." So there is not just a dimension of 50 amos. It says you must remove it as far as is necessary in order that it does not cause harm. Now you might say to me, well, that's common sense. This is the Mishnah, but it's not the fact that it's not common sense in English law. It's the fact that in English law don't have such criteria of dimensions. Machika kedei shelo yazik means that whether it's smell or whether it's dust or the threshing floor, the Rambam brings this down. Tzorich lahachik kedei shelo yaziku. That it's as much as is necessary in order that no damage is done. And the Rosh says in his Tshuvas, in Klal Chafches, in Siman Yud, that Chazal wrote dimensions on these uses which they were familiar with, but they knew that there would be other uses which they are not familiar with, or not yet familiar with, because they're going to come about in the future. And that's why Chazal used the expression of Bichdei Shelo Yazik, in order that no harm is caused. Says the Rosh, Kichol, because that is the way of the Torah, that it's ways of the ways of pleasantness. And the Torah is particular. That you don't do anything inside your premises which causes harm to your neighbor. And this word gorem is a very interesting one. Gorem means to cause. Not hamevi, which brings, which sounds more direct. Gorem can even be something which is indirect. Why does he use the word gorem? There's a Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Chaf Beis, the story of Yosef, a blind Rav from Pumpadisa, who was growing lots of fruit trees in his garden. And his neighbor next door started some industry where he was processing blood. I don't know what aspect of it was, but the ravens, birds were coming along and being attracted by the smell of this blood to his garden. They were chirping a lot with lots of noise, and they were sitting on his apple trees and on the apples, depositing bits of blood as well, which they had picked up. And he shouted, "Get rid of these croakers for me. I just want them out." And it was ruled that he's entitled to get rid of them, even though it was only a geroma. Because you could say that the actual blood processing itself wasn't bothering him. He didn't suffer from any smells or any noise or anything like that. It was the birds which were coming and attracted and then making the noise in an indirect way and then depositing on his tree.
Can I just ask you, is it the same situation if you buy your house afterwards?
Nobody
objects. You come along, buy a house, can you object?
I'll deal in a minute with a couple of Shadus Tshuvas, but there is an idea of Kadima in certain circumstances, that where one was there first, but that's not always the case. In the Tshuva of the Rivash, where a neighbour was doing weaving, and it was causing vibrations, and the person who was doing it argued before the Beis Din that it was expensive for him to relocate, he didn't have the overheads by operating at home, and therefore he needed to operate from his house. So the Rivash ruled one is not allowed to save oneself from injury by causing injury to one's neighbor. There's an interesting tshuva of Avram ben Arambam in Siman Kuf Aleph, who talks about a dye works, that somebody was doing coloring of materials and making dyes, which was causing lots of smells, and the neighbor next door wasn't able to hang up his washing because it was awful that the washing afterwards carried all these smells. And in this case, Ramaram ben Arambam says, he was operating this dye business before the neighbor moved in. Before the neighbor moved in. So the previous neighbor didn't object to it. And Zehel Gesundtehai carry on with it. Then this Reuven moves out and Shimon moves in and Shimon complains. So Levi, the one who's operating the dye works, says to Ramaram ben Arambam, he has to stop. It's something which he can't get a chazaka for. And the idea which comes out from that teshuva is if you do get a chazaka on an offensive kind of use, then if you move out and somebody else moves in and carries on, he's starting all over again. He doesn't inherit that chazaka in normal circumstances. And that's a very important comparison with English law. Because in English law, you build up something and you get an established use, a lawful use. It's been going on a long time. You can sell the property with that. It runs with the land. In halacha, it doesn't run with the land. It runs with the person. And that's a very interesting difference when it comes to the practical side, because you can have a real grievance when a new neighbor moves in operating the same sort of activity, but with much more noise and activity and people coming and going and mail order vans and so on. And the council will say, we can't help you, it's a lawful use, it's been going on for a long time. And so then there's this idea of what you'd call intensification. In English law, if you intensify a use which is lawful, the council can't touch you. There are court judgments about this. But in halacha, you have a grievance, you can go to the Beis Din and you can get it sorted out. And in a case of the Rashba, in his Tshuvas Chelek Gimel Kuf Samech Beis, there was a case where the neighbour actually put it in writing that he concedes in advance of the business starting that the smoke and the smell would not bother him. And then the fellow started, and then he reneged. The neighbour who had made this written agreement, he was not happy about it, and the Rashba ruled that the use has to stop. But there the difference was that if the fellow had already started the use, and then the neighbour wrote saying, I confirm I've got no objection to it, then he can carry on. The Rashba also in Chelek Beis in Memhei, he talks about domestic activities. What about domestic cooking, which is causing a nuisance? You know, it's not industrial, it's not business, it's not commercial. Can one do it? So he passes, yes, something which is in the normal manner of living in a house, you can do. Obviously, you have to have consideration for your neighbours, but it wouldn't come under one of these Isurim in Hilchos Shechenim. So it happened for the Rashba that the neighbour next door built a roof extension, and as a result of that roof extension coming next to the neighbour's chimney, he was suffering much more as a result of this domestic cooking. So there the Rashba said, those people who built the roof extension, they brought the trouble upon themselves. If they wouldn't have built that extension, they wouldn't suffer. So therefore the use can carry on, and besides it was domestic cooking in any case. In another case of the Rashba, in Chelek Dalet, Simon Shin Chofei, there was an instance of an external WC causing a nasty smell, where the neighbour, Reuven builds this WC, and his neighbour, we can't call him Shimon, let's call him Fred, he's not Jewish, and he objects to this WC. So Rume says, but it's common practice amongst the non-Jewish world to have external WCs. Why should my neighbour Fred object to it? And it came before the Rashba, and it so happened that the previous neighbour, the previous person there wasn't even Jewish. And anyway, the Rashba says that Jewish law applies. Even though your neighbour is not Jewish, you have to apply the Jewish law and you have to stop using that WC which is causing a nasty smell. A gewaldig chiddush from the Rashba, that this din of Hilchos Shechenim also applies when your neighbour is not Jewish, even though that person is governed by a different legal system. There are lots of questions in the poskim about doctors and dentists and the surgeries, and the Minchas Tzvi brings down the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Nun Vov, that there are certain uses which can function because they are called Tzorchei Tzibur, or they're Dvar Mitzvah. If it's a Dvar Mitzvah, let's say you operate a Cheder inside a block of flats, for Talmud Torah you can't object to it. Alright, you might ask, what about a shul and slichas at 6 o'clock in the morning? There should be consideration, but the general rule of thumb in the halach is when it's a mitzvah for a community kind of gathering, you can't stop that. There the Shulchan Aruch talks about a rofei umon, and someone who's weaving, or a sofa, and there's some debate going on about this rofei umon, because a doctor surely is someone who's saving life, therefore it's something which is a necessary thing for the community. And the Sma asks on this, and he says, well, we're talking really there about a specialist kind of doctor who does treatments like bloodletting, but it's not a general practice doctor who is saving lives. And the Taz also questions on this. He says, mitzvahs where people need to gather together, then it's for a mitzvah, we allow it. So in English law, we've got a number of interesting ideas which come out, if I may just go off on a tangent a bit, because when you're changing the use of a property in English law, it doesn't go by the criteria which we've been describing until now of smells or dust or noise or vibration. It goes according to the actual use. That is to say that you have a shop which is called Class A1, so you're allowed to change from one kind of shop to another kind of shop. Then there's the kind of use which is A3, which is a restaurant. You can have one kind of restaurant and you're changing to another kind of restaurant. So if you have a pizzeria which people sit down and eat pizza, where it's low-key activity, fine. But then if you then open up a burger restaurant with lots of people coming and making more noise, and there's a flu belching out lots of fumes. According to English law, that use is allowed because it's within the same use class. Whereas in halacha, you have a genuine grievance when there is that intensification. In the same way, a B1 is an office, or it can be industrial use. You get industrial uses which are very low-key. A fellow can be printing next door to you and you wouldn't notice it at all. And then he moves out and another fellow moves in who has a much larger kind of printing works, and there's more external activity going on and you're suffering a nuisance. In English law, there is no redress for that. But in halacha, there is. C1 is a hotel. You can have a hotel which is just for bed and breakfast, which is very low-key and not causing any nuisance whatsoever. And the fellow who's operating it moves out, and another one moves in, and a hotel. They have weddings there, and they have the mitzvahs there, and conferences, and it's a completely different kind of hotel. And you complain to the council, and they say, oh, sorry, we can't do anything about it. It's not a material change of use. Whereas in halacha, you have your redress. Same as the idea of class D1, which could be a number of different uses. It could be a public library, which is very quiet. You can change it into a hospital, you can change it into a school, you can change it into a shul or a shtiebel. This is all class D1, and there are lots of varieties here where you could be causing a nuisance when you change the use. You can go before the Beis Din if you are suffering a nuisance. You can't do anything about it in English law. We spoke about chazaka, and that there are exceptions where you'll never get a chazaka. And we also spoke about that when you move out and somebody else moves in, that chazaka stops and then it has to start all over again. So let's now look at it in a different angle. There is a certain economic aspect to all this. Let's say I want to start off a business. I don't have the overheads to go into a big factory yet and to employ staff. I have to start small, and some of the biggest industries started off in the back room or in the kitchen. The Steinway piano started off in a living room. The big jewellery trades of Birmingham started off in people's front rooms. So people start off their business in a quiet way, and very often, though, the council come down on them like a ton of bricks. You can't operate a business from your house. They serve them an enforcement notice, non-conforming use, residential area, etc., and they are very strict about it. But in halacha, halacha says to you, look, if you are minding your own business, forgive the pun, and you are not disturbing your neighbour, then gesundheit, you carry on with it. And nobody complains, then after 3 years, you get your chazaka. And then once you've got your chazaka, you can then go to your bank manager, you can secure a loan because you've already established yourself, you've proven that you're okay. So the halacha is saying, we're striking a balance here, and a very correct sort of fair balance, that when you operate your business, provided that you are not harming others, you can even do something which is called a non-conforming use in your residential house. And that way you build yourself up, and once you've got your 3 years and you've got your chazaka, then afterwards you can start with the overheads and build up your business better. But the English law doesn't work that way. It can be nasty to you at the beginning, and later on it might leave you alone when you are causing harm. So there are so many inconsistencies. In addition, there is a rule that you can even change in English law a warehouse under a certain size into an industrial unit. A warehouse. What goes on in a warehouse? Nobody's even working in there. It's just storing the goods. And then it's changing into an industrial unit. Council will say it doesn't need planning permission. And what happens? You've got this neighbour next door to you who's bought over a warehouse, and he's got people coming and going, and there's noisy activity. I'm aware of a place where they were doing dry cleaning, and the council claimed that it was a B1, it was a light industrial use. The stink of it was unbearable. And coming out, the doors were open and smells everywhere. And that was an original warehouse. English law, it's okay. The British spirit of compromise might mean it very well, but it results in so many inconsistencies and contradictions which you do not get at all in the halacha. In summary, we've spoken about the hole in the wall, the window, which is overlooking, causing loss of privacy, ayin hara, lashon hara, problems of tzinios. The halacha can stop you. English law can't always stop you. It can stop you if it's then a bigger development and it's subject to planning permission. Then they can say we refuse planning permission on the following grounds, overlooking causing loss of privacy. But only if it's something which is bigger. Then we spoke about the extension, 3 meters deep, 4 meters deep. It blocks out the light. You might be at the lower ground level. The halacha, you can stop it. In English law, you just can't. The change of use, one industrial use to another, or the warehouse to the industry, in halacha, if it's causing a nuisance, you can stop it. In English law, you can't. Then we spoke about the chazaka, that some nuisances are so bad that you will never ever get that entitlement. Halacha controls it. English law doesn't. And then we spoke about intensification of use, where there might be a new owner. And when something intensifies and the nuisance is so great, even though it's the same use, because the English law is wrongly going along the lines of shop, office, factory, that's not the way. The halacha says you go according to the actual nuisance, noise, dust, smell, and that is the way you will achieve a correct and fair system. So looking at it all from this angle, there's an interesting pasuk which we say in the Aleinu every morning, L'sakein olam b'malchus shakai, l'chol b'nei boso yikru v'shmecho. What do we mean by saying this pasuk? L'sakein olam, we can repair the world, b'malchus shakai, along the lines of the malchus of Hashem, namely the Torah. If we would adopt the ways of the Torah, and the world realizes how perfect the Torah is, these are timeless values, then all the peoples of the world will come and flock towards Hashem once they realize that the Torah is true. And what's the idea behind this? Because when you've got this sort of phrase like "bichdei shelo yazik," in order that no harm is caused, it's a value. It's not just a rule. It's an idea of a value, just like you would say 2 plus 2 makes 4. 2 plus 2 makes 4 is always correct. It doesn't matter if you're talking about 2 apples or 2 oranges or 2 computers. 2 plus 2 always make 4. It's an eternal value. And in the same way, when we find in the halacha something like bichdei shelo yazik, that's an internal value. And that's a nuisance which can happen from modern high-tech industries, just like the original threshing floors or external WCs which the Gemara speaks about. Because the Torah is applicable for all times. The Torah is modern. And that is why the Torah is always up to date. It never goes out of date. Whereas English law, they have to keep updating it, changing it, because they've come across problems, and therefore they have to amend this every few years. The halacha doesn't need changing, because these are eternal values for all time. And as the Rosh says in his tshuva on this matter, the Torah's ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are those of peace.